The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Welcome to today's broadcast. If you're like most people, you are undoubtedly on Facebook or other social media sites, and so are your children. But did you know that the minimum age limit for legal users on Facebook is 13? And do you monitor their activity on social media platforms and cyberspace in general? Has your child been cyberbullied? Has he shared private information on websites, and how comfortable are you with the safety of that information? And finally, how would you rate your IQ of digital citizenship and cyber parenting? My guest today will enlighten us on this subject. Donna Rice Hughes is president and CEO of Enough is Enough and an internationally known internet safety expert, author, and speaker. Under her leadership, EIE created the Internet Safety 101 program with the Department of Justice. She is the executive producer and host of Internet Safety 101 television series for PBS, which earned her an Emmy Award. Donna has given more than 4,000 media interviews and has been featured on Dateline, The Today Show, The Factor, Oprah, and 2020. She has testified numerous times before Congress, served on the Commission on Child Online Protection, the Virginia Attorney General Internet Safety Task Force, and the Internet Safety Technical Task Force formed by the U.S. Attorney General. And it is my true pleasure to have her as my guest for the hour. Donna, welcome.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to be with you.
Thank you very much. First off, congratulations on your Emmy Award for your PBS TV series. Tell us just a little bit about that, because I know we're going to talk more about it toward the end of the program.
Yes, absolutely. As you mentioned in your intro, we created a very important program to educate parents and caring adults, you know, educators, etc., about the dangers that their kids are facing online and then how to protect their children. And part of that Internet Safety 101 program is a four-part DVD teaching series, and we had the opportunity to turn that into 3 one-hour TV shows for PBS. And so that aired last year on certain Virginia stations and is now available across the country. And we can talk about that a little bit later. But once a show airs on television, then you can be nominated for an Emmy Award. And that's what happened with us. After it aired, we were nominated for 2 Emmy Awards, and we won one of them. So we're very grateful for that.
Wonderful. Congratulations. So there are clearly some disturbing behaviors with children, cyber behaviors. And just a little bit earlier, you were telling me that there was a UK study, I believe, that shows not very many good things happening out there.
Yes. When we got involved in Internet safety and pioneering really this issue in the United States in 1994, two of our biggest concerns were the fact that kids would be having free and easy access to all kinds of pornography, and that sexual predators would have easy access and anonymous access to kids. And, of course, that did come to pass. And I won't go back historically and everything that happened in our country there. But really, since the advent of the Internet, children have been able to access material online, and including very graphic, hardcore, deviant, and extreme pornography for free on the Internet. And this is the kind of material that, you know, you can't even get in a triple X rated bookstore as an adult because it's not available. So over the years, the pornography has gotten more and more extreme, more and more deviant, and we've been seeing these downward trends, you know, throughout these many, many years. And so the study that just came out in the UK found that 20% of boys, teenagers, were actually addicted to pornography, internet pornography. And they polled boys and girls, teenage boys and girls, and found that all of them had viewed pornography depicting anal sex and also bestiality. And we've also seen a rise in kids imitating what they see online and an increased incidence of children acting out sexually and sexually abusing other kids. So it's very disturbing, and we knew that this would happen, you know, if we didn't get on top of this issue with pornography on the Internet. And in fact, it has. And so now we're dealing with the consequences, and it's just very sad. But you know, kids being exposed to pornography is only one of, you know, the issues that can, you know, harm them really for the rest of their life. There are a lot that we deal with at Enough is Enough and in our program. And like I said just a minute ago, sexual predators have anonymous access to kids. And this is a very new phenomena as well, because they can use internet technology and basically pretend to be anyone that they want. So it's very easy for a sexual predator to gain the trust of a child, a preteen or a teenager, and to groom them into a situation that where they will be sexually exploited online, and then with the hopes of, you know, an offline encounter with the predator and the kid. And then, of course, there are the issues of cyberbullying, which is really one of the growing concerns over the past number of years since we've had social media. And, you know, for your listeners who may not know what cyberbullying is, this is just simply bullying using the technology. Kids harassing kids, threatening them, tormenting them, and it's just, you know, use your imagination. Any way a child can hurt or harm another child, they can do it now exponentially with the media and with this technology. And instead of it just following the child around on the schoolyard, the bullying can, you know, be exponentially spread in cyberspace and follow that child 24/7.
Indeed, and there have been some well-publicized instances that at least one or two young children committed suicide because they could no longer take the cyberbullying and the harassment that was coming their way.
Yes, that's right. It's been a lot more than that, actually.
Oh, yes.
It's been pretty much approaching epidemic proportions. In fact, you know, recent statistics, not the statistics say everything, they don't, but show, you know, close to 50% of kids have been cyberbullied or been involved in cyberbullying in some way, shape, or form. And so it's a growing problem, you know, inside the schools, outside the schools, you know, and at home. And one of the things that I think is so important for your listeners to understand is that these kinds of things, these kinds of dangers that kids are encountering online are very real. And they don't just happen to poor kids and kids who aren't, you know, very bright and that kind of thing. No child is immune. And so we happen to live, you know, in a country where we have free internet access from the standpoint that when a kid has access to the internet, they get all of the great benefits of the internet, all the wonderful content. They have the opportunity to communicate with good people and safe people all over the world. But at the same time, they have the opportunity to get bad and destructive content. and interact with dangerous people. And so it's really anything goes, and it's up to the parent or the end user, caring adult that's responsible for that child, whether it's the teacher or, you know, an after-school worker in a youth club, or, you know, the parent, the grandparent themselves, as to actually set the limits on how the child is using the technology, use the technology tools that are available so that the kid can have a safe experience and have all the good upside that the Internet has to offer and avoid the downside and the dangers.
Right. Besides predators on the Internet and cyberbullying, are there other negative behaviors that come upon children through their innocent use of the Internet that most people are not aware about?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, kids are kids. We do know from brain science now that a child's brain, their frontal cortex, is not fully developed until they're in their mid-20s, and that is the part of our brain that helps us understand how to make good choices and to be wise and those sorts of things. So, you know, kids are, you know, by nature kids. They're a little naive. They push the boundaries. You know, they're taking risks, and as they get into puberty, you know, all their hormones are starting to rage, and they're trying to figure out who they are and who they are sexually, and, you know, and as they get into their teen years, you know, the same thing. And our kids' online worlds are not different than their offline worlds. They're all merged. I mean, this is their lives. They are living in the physical world and the cyber world at the same time. So kids can just simply, by being trusting, put themselves at risk. For instance, you know, one of the things that we have been, you know, encouraging kids and parents to be aware of is that when you put information on the Internet or post a picture or post comments or any kind of information anywhere on the Internet, it's not private. Kids have a tendency to think that if they have a private area on their Facebook, or they've just, you know, put privacy settings on, which they should do, and we highly encourage that they do that, but that doesn't mean that information that is shared within those private areas is necessarily private, because all it takes is another person inside that private area to then take that material, that picture, and then repost it outside in a more public space. Same thing with kids sending pictures back and forth through their cell phones. So, you know, with texting, and of course it's been the big, you know, emerging trend of sexting, and I know we can pick up with that, you know, when we come back after the break, but there's a lot of things, yeah.
Let's do that. We'll be back after a very short break with my guest, Donna Rice Hughes. I'm Chris Efesio. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efesio understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Streaming live. The leader in Internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou with my guest, Donna Rice Hughes. Please visit her website, internetsafety101.org. Her Facebook page is Enough is Enough. And follow her on Twitter at EIETweets. For information on this program, speaking engagements, and other activities, please visit my website, chrisefesiou.com. My Facebook page is Chris Efesiou. And on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. Before the break, we were talking about internet predators, the proliferation of texting, sexting, and all information transferred across wirelessly, either by smartphones or through the internet, through computers rather, via the internet, and the false sense of safety and security that some children think they have by being private, simply by putting leaving messages in quote unquote a private area on Facebook or anywhere else. So let's continue on that, Donna. I'll have you pick it up from there.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's exactly right. There is a false sense of security. And, you know, the kids living in this generation have been brought up with this technology. And, you know, it's like we were talking about earlier, it's part of their lives. And so there's kind of a, you know, they're one step removed from being face-to-face with that predator. You know, they can't see them, you know, and the predator, for instance, could be 40 years old, but they could pretend to be a 16-year-old good-looking boy and send a picture of a 16-year-old good-looking boy to the cute 14-year-old girl who's now developing a crush on him. You see what I'm saying? So
right.
Those kinds of things happen, you know, a lot. And then the other thing is that kids will send information back and forth, and texting has become the primary means by which they're communicating with each other. Now they're not emailing. I mean, that's for us old folks, and you know, texting is the way they tend to operate these days. And using those smartphones that they can just carry around with them in their back pocket or their purses, and then snapping pictures of each other and sending those back and forth and posting, you know, their videos and their pictures, you know, all over the internet, on Facebook, on YouTube, etc., thinking that, you know, that it's safe, and it may not be. And we particularly see some potential problems with the young girls because they're, you know, they want to look attractive, they want to look, you know, popular, they want to, you know, be enticing and a little provocative sometimes, and of course look at who their role models are oftentimes.
Exactly.
in our media culture, right? So anyway, but this can actually make them vulnerable to sending the wrong messages, and I think it's really important that parents, particularly of girls, you know, talk to them about what they're putting out there in public and the pictures that they're posting and the videos that they're posting and what they're putting on Instagram and all these areas, and say, well, what message does this send? You know, you might think, oh, the 15-year-old boys in your class might think you look, you know, really cute, but, you know, an older guy who's got, you know, wrong motives might think, hey, you know, she's looking rather inviting, and you know, she might be vulnerable for me to go after. So these kinds of conversations, I think, are really important. And I brought up also this issue of sexting, and sexting is simply when anybody, doesn't have to be a teenager or a preteen, but send nude or semi-nude pictures or videos back and forth through, you know, a smartphone kind of a device. And oftentimes this happens, and girls are very prone to do this, especially if they like a boy, or if the boy asks for a photo of this type, thinking, okay, they're in a relationship, and then they break up, and this kind of material then can get spread around. It's not just in the boys' locker room anymore. It can be all over the internet. And then the girls just become absolutely devastated, as you can imagine. So, you know, I think I mentioned this earlier, Chris, but in case I didn't, I think it's so important for your listeners to understand that they're smart kids, they're savvy kids, they're good kids, are vulnerable to all these things that we've been talking about. And what I found in educating parents and adults for almost 20 years now on these topics is usually the same thing. They think, not my child, somebody else's child. Or, I'm really on top of the internet, and I understand the technology, and I'm looking over their shoulder, and I'm checking their emails every now and then, or maybe I've got a filter on the computer, etc. But that's just not enough anymore. Because these kids have, you know, 2 to 3 to 4 internet-enabled devices. And so that's a lot of checking over the shoulder. And if you have 1 or 2 kids or 3 or 4 kids with a couple of internet-enabled devices, it can get a bit unruly. And so I think the main thing is that parents recognize that technology is not good or bad. It's just how it's being used. And that it's really up to us as adults to make sure that our kids and grandkids are safe. Because in this country, our laws that would typically protect kids from hardcore and extreme pornography, or even just softcore material, but that's almost moot now because there's not much of that on the internet. It's all very extreme hardcore, are not being enforced, and kids can get this material for free. And predators can use the internet to contact kids. Cyberbullying is just a growing problem, like I said. And it's really up to the parents. I don't think it should be completely up to the parents, but it is just simply because of the way our internet works here and the fact that many of our laws are not being enforced. So it really puts a incredible amount of responsibility and pressure on the backs and the shoulders of the parents and adults, teachers also, to understand what the dangers are and to get on top of this and make sure your kids are safe, because if you don't, then they are vulnerable and they can get into a lot of serious trouble and things that can damage them for the rest of their life.
Exactly. Before we go on, because one of the things that I want to ask you will be, what do parents, teachers, grandparents, whoever, adults in a child's life, what do they need to know about the internet so that they can actually correctly guide their young kids that they're responsible for down the right path? Because clearly, stopping a child from accessing the internet is no solution, because A, they'll find a way to access it anyway, but the internet is mostly good, but whatever it's bet on it, it's awful.
So, yeah, that's right. So, yeah, throwing the baby out with the bathwater is not the right solution. So we've never encouraged that at all. But there are age-appropriate guidelines. So, you know, for instance, if you've got very young children, and now very young children are watching videos on YouTube, like my grandson just turned 5, and, you know, he looks at the Lego videos on YouTube and other things. And so, but even at that age, if you open up the internet to even YouTube, things that can come up on the side would be inappropriate. So, for instance, YouTube has the ability for parents to set filters on YouTube, and that's very important. That's just one example, but we have age-appropriate guidelines. So as your child, the younger your child is, I think the more important it is to have the internet locked down completely. And, you know, just bookmark some sites or go into an area that is completely safe for the child so that they don't have access to the entire open internet. And we kind of walk through that with you. This information is on our website at internetsafety101.org. But, you just go to age-based guidelines. We kind of give you a roadmap of, okay, when do you start introducing your child to email, for instance, and, you know, and when do you start talking to them about some of these dangers that are out there, because you want to do so in age-specific ways. Certainly you don't want to talk to a first grader about pornography, because hopefully they're not going to know what you're talking about.
Right.
But by the time they get to be 10, 11 years old, they've probably heard about it or seen it already, unfortunately. Because even if you're protecting your child on the internet-enabled devices that you manage and control, other kids' parents are not, and these kids are getting all this kind of material, and they do share things with each other. So starting to have those kinds of conversations about dangerous people, helping them understand that who they're talking to on the internet once they do start, emailing, and if you decide to give them access or let them have a Facebook account or whatever, or even if they're in Club Penguin, which is monitored and safe, help them understand that if they can't, they don't really know for sure that who they're communicating with is who they say they are, right?
Right. That's correct.
Okay. And that's just, those kinds of messages can start to be instilled from a very early age, and I do think it's important from a very early age to start talking about, we talk about good touch, bad touch, to prevent child sexual abuse and those kinds of messaging, to start early as soon as your kid is using technology and may be able to communicate with anyone. If anyone says or sends anything to you that makes you feel uncomfortable, come to mommy or daddy, because this is very key. Kids are growing up now to where if something bad happens to them or embarrasses them, they're oftentimes afraid to tell their parent for a number of reasons. One is they're afraid they're going to get blamed for whatever happened. They're afraid that their parents are going to overreact and that they're going to get in trouble or that they'll be shamed. And then their worst fear is that the parent's going to take away the technology.
Yes. Yes.
And so you don't want to do any of those things. You want to, our first safety tip that we give and our safety rules and tools is keep the lines of communication open and build an atmosphere of trust, because you want your child to be able to come to you with anything, and you want to be able to talk about it and talk through it. That's one of the most important things you can do as far as being a cyber parent.
That's wonderful advice. We will talk more about that on the other side of the break, and then I want to talk more about what the warning signs are and what parents should be on the lookout for. You have already touched a bit on that, but we will dive into that a little bit more as soon as we come back from break.
Okay, great.
My guest is Donna Rice Hughes. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. I'm Chris Efesiou. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efesiou understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are
You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Donna Rice Hughes. Please visit her website, internetsafety101.org. Her Facebook page is Enough is Enough, and follow her on Twitter at EIETweets. While we were on break, we have received some questions from listeners. This one comes from Joan in Syracuse, New York. She says, Chris, this topic is so alarming, and I appreciate you bringing it to the show. My question is, what age group of kids are most at risk to predators online, and are girls more susceptible than boys?
Thank you, Chris and Joan. Thank you for that question. That's a great question. Yes, girls are more susceptible to predators. And the age bracket that is most susceptible and vulnerable are 12 to 14-year-old girls. And, you know, they're in that preteen year, you know, age bracket where, you know, they're just kind of stepping out and trying to figure out who they are and, you know, making some, you know, risky moves online and that sort of thing. So, and predators are, you know, we're looking for those kinds of girls. Not that boys are not vulnerable, but they're just not as vulnerable. The next most vulnerable demographic of kids would be the boy who may be gender confused and maybe starting to ask questions about his sexuality online. And then, of course, that really, you know, sets them up for, you know, being a target for these predators. But by and large, the sexual predators are men, by and large, you know, the majority, you know, are men looking for, you know, typically, you know, the girls, you know, teenage girls, preteen girls, and younger. And the reason we don't find, you know, a lot of online abuse, for instance, as far as predators and younger children, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, year old girls, is because those girls are not typically in the areas where the predators can prey on them.
Right.
But let me just say something about child sexual abuse, which is a huge problem. One of the growing industries on the internet, and this has been the case for many, many, many years, is child pornography or child sex abuse images. And this is material, video, and print images where a child is actually being sexually abused. And the material is very graphic. The kids are getting younger and younger, as young as infants. And it can be very, very violent. And it's an important thing to understand. This is not in the black market of the internet. Even kids themselves are just a few clicks away from material that is child pornography, which is illegal in this country. So there's just an abundance of this going on, and it's just important to recognize that, you know, the kinds of vile things that your kids do have access to.
I know we have spoken about that at different times on this program, but let's recap some of the warning signs that parents should be on the lookout for, and what two or three things should parents be able to do to protect their kids?
Well, that's really a loaded question, Chris. Let me just, before I start down that trail, remind everyone that we've got a lot of information on the website, internetsafety101.org, and also go to back to this program that we created, which is a four-part DVD teaching series with a workbook and with a lot of resources, because there's a lot of ground to cover, and I'm not sharing this because so that you will feel overwhelmed. I want you to know that there are resources here to help you, that you can go through this as an individual or in a small group or with your PTA group, however you want to do it. And but just kind of a thousand-foot, you know, look at this, I would say, like I said, know what your kids are doing and be in communications with them. Warning signs would be, you know, if you notice sudden changes in behavior. For instance, with exposure to pornography or sexual predators, some of those warning signs are the same as child sexual abuse, because in a way the child is being traumatized, even if it's only been exposure to pornography, as opposed to being abused by a sexual predator. But, you know, they may become withdrawn. They may become overly curious about sex all of a sudden. You may even find, you know, a change in the way that they're dressing. And so these kinds of things, just the key is to really know your child so that you can notice changes that are happening in the way they're thinking and their behavior. Also, the more secretive they become, that could be a warning sign. But, of course, as your kids become teens and preteens and teens, they're just going to be secretive anyway, and they're going to want you out of their
right.
their space and out of their privacy. But let me just say something about privacy, and I think parents make a really big mistake here, and that is, you know, kids say, hey, you're invading my privacy. Well, look, you're not invading their privacy. You buy the technology. You own the technology. You're the parent, and you have every right to help your children and to tell them that it's up to you as a parent to make sure that you're also being a good cyber parent and that they're using the internet safely, but not just that they're using it safely, but that they're not in some ways vulnerable to someone who would try to hurt them. And keep in mind, most of the things that happen are happening to the children. The pornographers are going after their kids. The predators are going after the kids. The cyberbullying is bullying the child. So that's, I think, a good way to help your kid understand why you're going to be putting safety measures around their use of technology. So with respect to cyberbullying, one of the things that is a telltale sign that a child is being cyberbullied is when they don't want to use the technology anymore. Because kids will never not want to use the technology, right?
Right.
So when someone's being cyberbullied, that means it's coming through their technology and they're being so traumatized by it, they may not want to go to their computer, play on that online game anymore, or, you know, use their smartphone. And that's a good tell sign that there could be a cyberbullying issue.
That's incredibly wise. The issue of being attentive and alert to behavioral changes for children cannot be underscored. It's at the heart of it, and I am so glad you took the stance about children's privacy, because as I was parenting my daughter, I was very fortunate I did not have significant issues, but when privacy came into question, my position was that for as long as you live under this roof, I own your privacy.
And that's right.
And I need to know what it is that you're doing for your own good. And of course, no child will ever believe or buy that story. Just like, you know, when my mother used to tell me things when I was little, I would disagree, and she'd tell me, well, you know, when you become a parent, you'll understand what I'm saying.
Exactly. We all heard that, didn't we?
Exactly. And lo and behold, I became a parent then. And let's take a question from one of our listeners that is kind of pertinent with regard to laws. Comes from Greg from Charlotte, North Carolina, and says, Donna, what laws are in place to protect our kids from online predators? Have you worked with law enforcement on this issue? And what are the most important things parents can do to protect their kids?
Yes, we have worked with law enforcement. In fact, our whole strategy of protecting kids on the internet has been what we call a three-pronged approach, and that is education, and that's what we're talking about now, and what our internet safety program is about: educating, equipping, and empowering parents and teachers and adults about internet dangers and safety. The second piece is working with the technology industry, and then the third is public policy laws and law enforcement. So there are laws on the books. We actually help get them into law that actually make it a crime for an individual to sexually solicit a child over the internet. And so that is a crime. It's also a crime to travel across state lines. And so those laws are in place. And in fact, the majority of our law enforcement dollars are going to catch sexual predators and to track them down and to, you know, prevent them from soliciting children. But it's still out of control. You know, there's not enough law enforcement dollars to really get all these guys. And one of the problems with sexual predators is that they talk to each other using the technology and teach each other how to avoid law enforcement technology. And like I said, they've got free and easy access to child pornography, which is a booming industry on the internet, and it's also going into the deeper web, which is a whole other subject that we don't have time to get into. But so yes, there's law enforcement. The prosecutors are working on these issues, and I would say if you ever do find that someone has, you know, been soliciting your child or talking to them, you suspect that they're an adult, they're not who they say they are, contact your local law enforcement and go to the cyber tip line, which is what is a tip line that is run by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and you can find all that information on our website as well.
And that website, again, is internetsafety101.org.
Right.
So,
and, go ahead.
No, please, continue.
Okay, so let's see, where were we? I think that, let me just say something about, you know, the technology here in this country. When I was talking about how we're working with the high-tech industry, and this is one of the things that's so important that parents need to realize, is that in the United States of America, when you buy a device, whether it's a smartphone or a computer, and you connect to the internet, and also online gaming is a really big issue, and we deal with that in our program, because when a child is playing an online game, they're actually playing a game oftentimes with strangers through the internet. And this is a growing area of concern where sexual predators are soliciting kids, getting to know them through the online gaming world, playing with them in online games, and then building a relationship through those games. So just be aware of that. But as soon as you get connected to the internet, you get everything, okay? It's not protected. Filters and parental controls are not turned on. It's up to you as the adult to turn those parental controls on. So what we recommend as a good overview to keep your kids safe online is to implement what we call internet safety rules. That's RULES, and those are the non-technical measures, and also safety technology tools, which are the technical measures. And those technical measures are the tools that industry provides. And it's very important that you do both. One is kind of your offensive strategy, and one is your defensive. And so here's just, if you remember a mantra, if you forget everything else, remember, implement rules and tools on every internet-enabled device my child is using. All right? And so I'll just cover some of the tools. It's very important that you use filtering technology. There's no other way to keep pornography from getting to your kids. Now, can your kids get around it? Yeah, they can. But hopefully they won't. But that's another reason why you need the next tool, which is monitoring technology. And this is not stealthware. This is a technology that allows you to know where your kids are going, where they're trying to go to, and the ingoing and outgoing communications. And I recommend that you always let your kids know that you've got these tools in place and it's there for their safety. Also, it's very important to block certain areas of the internet because they're just not safe. And those are chat rooms and also peer-to-peer networks. Peer-to-peer networks are one of the most problematic areas for the exchange of child pornography, and there's just not a whole lot good that happens there in those peer-to-peer networks. And then the safety rules and the safety measures, you know, befriend your child on their social networks. Recognize, like you said in the beginning, Chris, you know, the age limit for Facebook and these other social networking sites is 13. However, there's no parental controls there, so a kid can be 8 years old and get a social networking profile on Facebook or any of these sites.
Yes, indeed.
But, right.
Let's continue that on the other side of a short break. My guest is Donna Rice Hughes. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
News. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epiciu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Epiciu. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Epiciu. My guest is Donna Rice Hughes. Please visit her website, internetsafety101.org. Facebook page is Enough is Enough, and follow her on Twitter at EIETweets. Donna gave us some great tips already about internet safety, including the use of filtering technology and monitoring technology and blocking certain sites, especially, I believe, the ones you said about chat rooms.
Yeah, chat rooms and peer-to-peer networks.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have other tips that come along with that. But let's, if I am a parent and I'm intrigued by what I have heard about Internet Safety 101 program, and I go to the website, internetsafety101.org, and dive into the workbook and the DVDs, as you said, what am I expecting to find in there? In chunks,
right,
if you will.
Yes, please go to the website. And if what you can do is hit the order button, and you can go and see what this product offering is all about. The DVD teaching series is in four parts. And what we did is I actually executive produced this and hosted it. But we divided it into four sections. The first is Pornography 101 and Safety. The second is Predators. The third is the social media world, which is where we deal with social networking, online gaming, cyberbullying, and mobile technology. And then the fourth segment is Safety. And now this is not all on our website, but we do have some of the video vignettes that are within the DVD, and those are all on our website. And there's about 18 or more of those. And, for instance, I interviewed, you know, in the pornography section, boys and girls talking about their experience and how they had accidentally come across this and how it's impacted their life, and talked to psychologists and psychiatrists that are talking about the new brain science, about what this is showing and how this material is impacting the brains of our youth that get exposed to, and it's impacting their brains much differently than an adult brain. And so, and then, you know, good advice on this, and also how the pornographers are tricking kids into getting onto their sites. In the predator section, I interviewed a young girl who was abducted by a predator, and you should really listen to Alicia's story. She fortunately survived, and she's a beautiful girl and very articulate now. I also interviewed a convicted sex offender who was a school teacher, is now serving time in a prison, and asked him how he solicited kids and how he gained their trust. And all of this is in the Predator section and much more. In the Web 2.0 section, we deal with all the things that I just talked about. Lots of talking to kids and talking to experts and just teaching as we go. And then the safety section. So what we also tried to do with this, there are experts throughout the program. I'm not the only one, so I'm just one of many experts. And so you really get, you know, a real good variety of opinion and expertise from law enforcement and industry leaders and et cetera. So, but we also did a workbook to go with this, and we created it to be able to be used by just individual parents. You can go through it on your own if you get it yourself, or you can use it in a small group. And sometimes it's easier to go through a program like this with other parents, you know, or a parent group or your Sunday school group or whatever the case may be, you know. So I recommend you get it, and once you've used it, you know, put it in your public library or your church library so other people can use it as well and share it around. So, and like I said, on the DVD piece of it, we did win an Emmy Award for it, and it won a lot of awards. So it's really good. It's not boring. We talk about serious subject matter, but we also, there's a lot of times where you'll be laughing and sometimes where you might shed a tear, but we're trying to engage your heart and your mind so that you'll get involved with what your kids are doing online and make sure that they're safe. Because I happen to be a huge fan of the internet, like most people, and it sounds like, you know, I'm, you know, talking about all the bad stuff, but the only reason I'm talking about it is because it's there, and it's important that we understand that it is there as adults and how to make sure that our kids are safe.
Exactly. So we have a couple of minutes left. Is there anything I have left out I did not ask you that you would want to mention, whether it be in terms of safety tips or other golden nuggets of information that you can share with us?
Well, yeah, one thing I didn't mention, you know, besides using parental control tools, the search engines like Google and Bing have filters on them, so you can go in and set those filters with an adult password. So if your kids are using those search engines, they'll get a second filter there, which is a good idea, and you don't necessarily need to tell them you've got it set. And we actually worked with those technology companies to have them do that a number of years ago. So that's a helpful thing to do. And I would also say make sure your kids are using privacy settings if you're going to let them use a social networking site. And as odd as it might sound, if you think your child might not be telling you the truth, you know, you may say you can't have a Facebook, and let's say they're 11 years old and you think they might have snuck in and got one anyway, you can Google your child.
That's
find
true.
Them on Facebook. So, you know, I would say use the technology in a clever way. There's so much that you can do to find out and use the technology proactively. And also if you're, you know, when your kids are on social networking sites, just insist that you have to be their friend. You're not going to be spying on them or anything else, but you just be checking up with them, you know, every now and then, and don't send them a message on their social networking site or anything like that. But, you know, just keep an eye on what's going on.
Exactly. And I think that's incredibly good advice. For more information on internet safety and how to keep your kids out of trouble, please visit InternetSafety101.org. Donna, thank you so very much for your time and expertise, and I hope we have an opportunity to discuss more on this subject at some future point.
Thank you so much for having me, and all the best to all your parents and grandparents out there. And grandparents, remember, this is you too, all right? So get involved and learn what you can to keep your grandkids safe.
Well said. Next week, we'll talk about what men and women need to know about breast cancer. So do join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West, on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. We'll talk more next week. I'm Chris Efesiou. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.